What's up, guys? It's Harrison Phillips here, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellows on the Circle the Wagons podcast on Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills, baby.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I am your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us in this bi-week episode. And I have on with me one of, he's a writer for BuffaloRumblings.com. He does great work over there at the site. He is not only one of my favorite people to talk to about Buffalo Bills, but just in general, such an easy guy to discuss anything with. We could talk for 2 hours and it feels like 10 minutes. So I'd like to welcome back Sean Murphy from BuffaloRumblings.com. Sean, how's it going tonight?
Nate, after that introduction, now I feel like I have to live up to something. I feel great, man. How you been?
Good. Well, just don't screw it up, okay? That's all I can say.
I'll try. That's Murphy's Law dictates that now I will, but I'll try to do that.
You will. You will. Don't worry. I'll screw up more than you will. So first things first, you know, it's hard to look for, before we look forward, it's hard not to look backward just a little bit as far as, you know, what happened most recently with the Bills, and of course with the bye week, we have even more time to commiserate and pontificate about it and think about. And that is the Bills' loss to the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, 34-31 last week. And I don't want to, you know, revel in it too much or really get down about it, but when that game was over, and, you know, let me know about how you were feeling afterwards, and do you feel any differently a week out or still the same after that loss?
Well, it was funny because as I'm watching the game, I don't know if you've had this experience playing Madden, but when you're playing the CPU and it just feels like it keeps glitching out and it wants you to lose, and you sit there and you go, all right, I'm going to be fine here. And then, you know, the computer doinks a 48-yard pass off a safety's head and catches the ball. And you go, well, that's, you know, bull crap. That's not actually going to happen in real life. And then they spring a 70-something-yard run, and you go, ah, well, you know, CPU just wants me to lose. And then all of a sudden at the end, you know, your quarterback falls down instead of getting the first down on a 4th-and-1 that he gets 99 times out of 100. And then you look up and you go, wow, I really feel like spiking my controller. Or maybe that's me, but that's kind of how I felt watching that game. And all of that randomness and all of that weird stuff, Matt Warren and I kept talking about it. And as we were like pinging the Slack chat, think of all the things that had to go right for the Titans to eke that win out. You know, they sat there and you had a busted, we could talk about the holding that wasn't called on the Derrick Henry run, but it still took, okay, so we blew our run fit on that one for him, the best running back in football, to go bust off a 76-yard gain. You know, Ryan Tannehill looks like, I don't know, looked like he did in Miami for the first 2.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden he looks like Ryan Montanahill for the last quarter and a half on those play-action crossing routes. So Everything that went down to make that game the end, I feel pretty confident in Buffalo to come back and learn from it. And if they see Tennessee down the road, which after this, you know, disturbing week of football, whatever the hell happened today, it looks increasingly likely that that could be something that happens as Kansas City starts to slide to the background and teams like Tennessee and the Bengals, hello, if you had them on your, you know, early season parlay, good for you, then that's where you may end up seeing all these lessons that they learned from that loss come out. But I don't feel any different about the Bills. I still think that if they're not the best team in the AFC, they're right there in that top two or three. And as frustrated as I was, and I went to bed immediately after Allen fell down, immediately. And I never do that. Usually I'll like stay up and I'll walk around, but I'm like, nope, I'm putting my phone on the charger. It's 11:30. I'm pissed. I'm going to bed. So then I wake up and my wife looks at me and she just goes, dude, what happened at the end of that game? And I'm like, I don't even know. I can't even explain it. So after watching that, I don't know. I think that was Tennessee's best shot at the Bills. And I think if they meet each other again later on, I think Buffalo prevails. But that was frustrating loss. And to quote our arch nemesis, Bill Belichick, I mean, we're on to Miami.
Nice. Nice. There were so many things I liked in that response, Sean. The first thing I want to talk about is the Madden thing, the glitch in Madden. It felt like there is definitely, like, if you have the setting on, like, an easy setting that what you should probably do really well on, you'll probably go 11-0, 12-0, like win pretty easily. And then, like you said, you'll have all of a sudden four fumbles in one game. Like, that's weird. I normally only have one or none. Four in one game.
You know, how happened? Why are they trying to do this? How, like, how is this getting called? How was that not getting called? When the kick return touchdown got called back, that's where I kind of said to myself, all right, it's going to be 34-31. Like, that's how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
Yeah. Were you a controller thrower? Because I threw it on the ground underneath me, but I was never throw it in the air guy. Because I was like, I'm angry, but I'm not so much that I know I don't want to break my TV or my controller.
Under this calm exterior, and I hope that my best friend growing up is now my principal. So I hope that he listens to this, because he used to call the surrounding area the graveyard around my PlayStation, because I was a, like, beat the thing until it died smasher. So as calm as I am on the outside, all it took was a couple of glitchy, four fumbles in a Madden game, and I was destroying it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I was a chucker, man. It was not good.
Video games, the best and the worst of everything right there. Sometimes it shows you who you really are at some points, right?
yeah, big time.
I definitely come away with a lot of the same things you said about the Titans game. Everything having to go right for the Tennessee Titans. It reminds me a little bit of the Pittsburgh Steelers game, where everything had to go right. And, you know, except in that game, everything had to go wrong for the Bills too. And the punt block for a touchdown. I mean, come on, when does that ever really happen? And the Bills offense.
Egg for that first particular game. Both of them too. One, the troubling pattern is the inability of the interior offensive line to withstand any sort of solid bull rush, because Cam Hayward was having a party in the backfield. And I think, was it Jarrell Casey was the guy who just completely blew everything up on Buffalo against Tennessee?
I think so.
And then the same thing with TJ Watt, Harold Landry, both of them were able to really kind of burn both Deion Dawkins and Darrell Williams. And he was on the outside at will. Spencer Brown picked a real bad time to look like a rookie against Tennessee. Even Mitch Morse got torched at one point. And he's been the one guy who I've sat there and pointed at and said, well, you know what? At least the center's been damn near perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I watched him get bowled through on one of Josh's sacks. And I was like, oh, boy, this is it looks like, for all the work that they've done on the offensive line and all of the money they've invested, it still may be a spot where we're looking at when the Bills draft one high in the next couple of years, or they go out and try to sign a guy, especially on the interior. I'm not going to be surprised.
I mean, right now it's way too early. I mean, we're only talking what we're in week 8 this upcoming week, and it's like I have a hard time saying guard either side isn't one of the biggest needs of this team right now, like some sort of really, like, this is, you know, we'll never know how it ends up being, but when the Bills took that second defensive end and Boogie Basham, like, hey man, like, stack up on one need. I'm not opposed to that whatsoever, because hey, if you don't hit with one, maybe you'll hit with the other. Like, you know, yeah. just, you know, the more stones you have the pond, right? Like that sort of idea. The problem is, though, there were some decent interior options at that second round spot. And I remember talking with Griff and Dan Lavoie about that. And I can't forget which one, was like, yeah, you know, I kind of saw, I asked him, I said, hey, at that spot, like, you're good with that pick. Is there anyone you might have considered? And one of them said Cree Humphrey. And you know, when you look at that, and I don't know exactly how he's performing this year, but when Boogie Basham is, you know, inactive some of the games, and you're just like, man, that Cree Humphrey probably wouldn't be inactive on game day. He would probably be one of the starting guards. So
I would assume, yeah. And I think that they, I would, if I'm in Brandon Bean's mind, he's probably looking, I don't think Jerry Hughes or Mario Addison is on the roster next year. So he probably thinks, okay, so now I've got Epinesa, and that's, I want to circle back to that because the reasoning that they gave for him being an inactive doesn't smell funny or doesn't smell right to me for the last week. But you've got Epinesa, you've got Russo, who's been dynamite, and then you've got Basham, who's flashed a little bit in there. So you've got your top three, I guess, for the next couple of years. And if that's what he's thinking, great. Maybe he looked at the interior line and said, okay, we've actually got a glut of guys. We love Feliciano. We like Cody Ford. We love Mitch Morse. We like Ike Butker. These guys will be okay for us. And then it's kind of been the worst case scenario in there where it's, I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting a little bit too, but both losses have kind of looked similar, no? Like where that middle has been killing us.
Oh, without a doubt. And especially when you see it on the outside as well, like you notice, you're like, wow, like there's not a position that, especially like you said, like the Titans in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's not a spot where they can't get to Josh Allen. And Josh Allen makes that line look so much better than it really is. And we keep forgetting that, like when you look at like, oh, the offensive line, the guard, it's like this offensive line, I want to say, is like either average or maybe even, I don't want to say slightly below average, but like they have a couple of good pieces, but yeah. The other three spots are like, well, hopefully they're okay. You know, like you're never right. Sure. And I would be remiss to say, and let's definitely circle back about the defensive line, but I'd be remiss to say like day one, like if you're looking at biggest needs, now the Bills obviously have, you know, several needs, but the biggest, most glaring one to stop what's happening and you know, every team wants to act like Tennessee and Pittsburgh against the Buffalo Bills. The reality is they can't. Not everyone right. has stud interior defensive linemen. Not everyone has also some really great pass rush help on the outside. But how you don't see that as a need, and people talk about, you know, letting go of Mitch Morse. It's like, well, now you have another need that you have to take care of, you know, like hope. You got to hope that you somehow get a better center than Mitch Morse next season.
Right. Like, let's say that you really are down on Morse and you say that he's a C or a C+. Okay, so then you're going to cut a C or a C+ to replace him with what?
Yeah.
I have no idea. And I am higher on Morse than that. I think I said it before, but I think Morse has consistently been this team's best offensive lineman this year. And that's I love Deion Dawkins. But I wonder how much of that is him almost having to help towards the middle and jump inside a little bit. And they leave him on an island too, because he's earned the right to be that guy. So you're going to get beat on the outside every once in a while. Like I said, after they did lose to Pittsburgh, the other team practices too, you know what I mean? Yeah. They get paid, they're professionals, they're good. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be stuff that goes down. I mean, people have been looking at the upcoming weeks for Buffalo and saying, well, Miami, there's a W. Jacksonville, there's a W. The Colts, there's a W. Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo lost one of those three. And I know that sounds crazy, looking at the records or looking at whatever, but Miami's already lost six in a row. Law of averages tells me it's going to be tough to lose seven in a row. But yes, I'd like to sit here and say that they're going to go squish the fish or, you know, mash the mammals or whatever we want to say about them. Jacksonville, whatever Urban Meyer's doing, you know, on his bye or wherever no, they can get prepped up. And then the Colts have some tough physical guys that give Buffalo problems up front. So there's going to be, just because Buffalo's got a, you know, 4-2 record and they score a ton of points and they do a nice job on defense when they're not, you know, playing against Tennessee. I have no idea how it happens still, how they got to 34 on that defense, but it's, yeah, it's any given Sunday or Monday, as it were.
Yeah, no kidding. So real quick, Urban Meyer, Just in general, I love that you brought him up in the bye week and what he's, dude. I feel like he's doing a lot of apologizing lately. If I'm Urban Meyer, you know, dude, when you saw, I don't know if you saw the apology video for him when he was in the press conference. You were talking about, like, did you see that at all?
I didn't see the video.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So let me just describe it to you. Okay. Now, I feel like I'm an expert on apologizing, not only because I'm married, but, like, just in general, like, you can tell when someone's sincere or not.
Yeah.
And his apology, now, you mentioned your 7-year-old son. He looked like a child that was, like, you know, being told you have to apologize. Just, like, he basically, like, looked down at the ground the whole time, just kind of, like, you know, swayed back and forth. Well, you know, it was a... you know, put in a situation I should never be in and stuff like that. So there was a lot of, like, that apologizing, like, I was put in a situation where I shouldn't be, or, like, people were, you know, that's not an apology, right?
Right. That's more an I got caught and you saw me do something that I shouldn't have done, but, you know, it was twisted or something.
Yeah. it's like blaming the other people for putting you in a position where you might have been, you know, taken advantage of. And it's like, well, you shouldn't be in that position to begin with because you're a grown man. So,
yeah, you can make a decision not to, you know, start playing, grab whatever you want to insert adjective or place here. Let's play Mad Libs. So, yeah, you can go ahead and avoid that situation yourself because, like you said, you're a grown man. I mean, he's 40. He's a grown man. He's like 60.
Oh, yeah,
so I
exactly.
think you can figure that out.
Yeah, no kidding. So, real quick, before we start talking about, like, future games, and I definitely want to do that, you mentioned the defensive line and where you see it in the future. And it reminded me because in the preseason, when you and I talked last time in training camp, we were, like, high on several different guys who have, like, almost not seen the field at all.
Efe Obada.
We were so high on Efe Obada.
Yeah, now he's kind of just hanging out in there.
Yeah.
And now this, like, Epinesa, I feel like, has played great for most of the, he's affecting plays. He's setting the edge very well. And then he's a healthy scratch the other day. And the reasoning given, if I saw and if I read correctly, was that they wanted to get a look at some other players there. And to me, that's a head scratcher. I don't understand that. I feel like when you're attempting to win football games, you want to get a look at the players who have been performing the best. And I don't know how you could look at what they've been doing and say that Epinesa is not one of their top edges at this point. So that to me was confounding.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a game where it turns out they didn't have as good of a pass rush as you really hoped. I did a poll on Twitter and the people said that one of the most disappointing parts of that game was the pass rush in that game.
Tannehill coming into that game was the most sacked quarterback in the league, right?
Yes, he was sacked on 10% of his dropbacks, and yeah, he had 20 sacks up to that point. No sacks against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football.
Not a one. Yeah, that's wild to me, and I wonder how much of that was that playing it in the back of their head with all of that play action that they ran, especially in the second half when you could see the linebackers crashing hard to the hole. And then there was one of the crossing patterns where he had the floating camera. You saw Matt Milano's face, and he just kind of went, oh, no, mm-hmm. when he saw it going down. And I wonder how much of it was them trying to contain and fill gaps for Henry. Mm-hmm. But as it is, like you said, it's disappointing to see a guy who sacked 10% of his dropbacks be sacked on 0% of his dropbacks against allegedly a top tier defensive line.
Yeah. And you know, this is, I still think this is a really good defense. Don't get me wrong. I just think that even good defenses don't have a good game every once in a while. They just face a tough opponent or whatever. And I think it exposes just the Bills defensive line to a point, maybe not so much the edges, but on the interior. I mean, besides Star, like they need another guy like Star or bigger to also be ready for these sets because they put Harrison Phillips in there, and I like Harrison Phillips as much as the next guy, but I don't think anyone would confuse Harrison Phillips with a run stuffer, you know?
No, and even like looking at how much better has Ed Oliver been this year with Star next to him, too. I mean, you really see Oliver firing off because mm-hmm. they double team him. they have to double Latulele. And if they don't double Latulele, then Starr has been eating. Like, that guy has been playing like a man possessed this year. And I'd argue, I think that Justin Zimmer really is the number three defensive tackle here. I don't think that Phillips, like you said, he's kind of Jag. He's just a guy sitting in. Mm-hmm. Great dude. And you're not going to confuse him with one of the top end run stuffers. It's crazy how quickly Vernon Butler has kind of become this year's Trent Murphy, too.
Yeah.
Where that guy making $6 million to, I don't know, go through pregame warmups and fill out. Yeah.
To put in his dress or his street clothes, right? Every week, it seems. Yeah, that's so funny. You think so? If we had to guess after this season, who would get a contract extension if it's between, I think they have another year of Justin Zimmer, I believe, where they don't need to extend him. But Harrison Phillips, they need to make a decision at the end of the season, right?
I think you're correct. And I think that will be either you can hang out here for the veterans minimum for a year, or you can go test your market and see what you got. Because I don't see them. I don't know how much you want to invest in the middle there with what you've already invested. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to invest in it, your idea of getting another plugger in there to really rotate in with Starr would be, I think, a better use of it, especially when you've got Zimmer and Oliver providing the motor right there next to him. I think replacing that rotational guy, mm-hmm, is probably be something that they look at, if not later in the draft. Like, you could see them. I feel like Brandon Bean, that's one of those where he'll make one of those savvy Magic Bean kind of moves where some guy who's been a cast off from some other place will come here and do something good. It's the kind of faith that I have in their front office at this point to go find people who are going to work.
Yeah, exactly. We need another Jordan Phillips, basically, like that, like another cast off. Yeah. And that can perform, have an amazing season. We let him go, and, you know, teams are trying to get rid of him or, you know, trade him or whatever.
Somewhere else and then not be as good as he was here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So let's go into the Buffalo Bills schedule upcoming. You mentioned a bunch of the teams that they're playing. And what's really interesting is, so now that the Sunday games are mostly almost done at this point, I mean, you're talking the Miami Dolphins next week in Buffalo.
Yep.
The 1-6 Miami Dolphins.
1-6 Miami Dolphins after being 1-0 and in first place in the AFC East for a little bit. I think I might have heard about that for a bit. Yeah.
I think you might have heard about it from Dolphins fans on social media or wherever they could possibly scream it from.
I believe that is accurate. I haven't heard it as much, though. But,
yeah, the Miami Dolphins crowd has been kind of quiet as of late. So you got the 1-6 Dolphins. After that, week 9, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, which at this point, Jags aren't doing too good. They were just on the bye this week, but they were 1-5 going into the bye. The New York Jets, which, you know, the Jets are just, you know, a train wreck also, 1-5 playing this week. And then you got the Colts, which at this point, they're going to play the 49ers. What is it, tonight or tomorrow night? But
night, they're expecting like a monsoon out there too.
So, oh really, in San Francisco?
It's going to be brutal weather wise they were saying.
It feels like the Colts are getting everyone on IR though, so like this is the time to play the Colts at this point.
Yeah. And even with the Jets, Zach Wilson got hurt, something with his knee. I think I read just before we got on that they were thinking it's a PCL.
Oh, geez.
And it's minimum probably 2 weeks, so he's either coming back for Buffalo or he's going to miss the game. Mm-hmm. And I had to look. I had to take a double take because the Jets, they said that something, a drive was easy for Mike White and the Jets. And I'm like, who the hell is Mike White?
Right?
So that's apparently the Jets' backup quarterback, Mike White. So, that could be. If you're looking at the Bills' schedule, and those of us like you and I who are old enough to remember the old early 90s Bills, they would lay an egg or lose to a team that they should have beaten at random points. But then they'd always come out and they'd win 11-13. Mm-hmm. Before the season, I remember looking at the schedule and saying, I think Buffalo's going to win 13. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, how many more games this year is Buffalo not going to be the favorite? Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay,
Well, after those four games, I mean, then you talk about, like, the really kind of interesting games, and those are the only interesting games for the rest of the season, really, like, where you're like, man, the Bills might, you know, give one of these back. So you're talking about the Saints in New Orleans on Thanksgiving, yep. The Patriots, which the Patriots are still the Patriots, as much as I don't think they're as good, obviously, still the Patriots. And then you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which, you know, the defending Super Bowl champs, it just blew out the Bears. So 6-1 at this point. So, I mean, that's a stretch where the Bills have to worry about. But you got four games there where all the teams combined, at least at this point, have four wins.
So. Yeah, this is where, like, when Buffalo goes off and they start that stretch of schedule, you look at this and they should be 8-2 mm-hmm. after the stretch. And if you are going to be taken seriously, and if you are going to actually stand up and say, hi, we are among the best teams in the NFL, you can't sit down and lose to Miami at home. Mm-hmm. You can't lose to Jacksonville, period. You can't lose to the Jets, period. Mm-hmm. So these next three especially, and then when they play Indianapolis, like we said, tough defense. They got some guys in the middle that are physical. They've got some good pass rushers on the outside too. Still a game you can't lose. That's four games here that they need to come out and establish that kind of dominance of, hi, this is us. And this is how we do things. And I think it's going to be interesting given how big a piece of the offense Dawson Knox has become. I've seen that he's probably going to miss a couple of weeks. Someone speculated that even though Tommy Sweeney is going to get the obvious tight end snaps, I wonder how much you're going to see somebody like Gabe Davis on the field a little bit more. Or my favorite conspiracy theory, Jake Kumerow may be coming in there and acting like one of those stand-up move tight ends a little bit, given that he's huge mm-hmm. and he's already hitting people on special teams all the time. So this is where Brian Daboll gets to be super creative in replacing a guy who's actually developed into a exactly what Buffalo wanted him to be this year. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we talked about Jake Kumerow in the offseason. We talked about Efe Obada, guys that really haven't made any impact at all in the grand scheme of things this season, yeah. At least as of yet, anything could happen. Is one of the most surprising parts of the 2021 season the elevation of Dawson Knox's performance over other guys that you thought might break out, like an Ed Oliver or Tremaine Edmonds? Tremaine Edmonds is playing good ball, but it's just like Dawson Knox has just taken his play to just another level. And it's not even just like he cleaned up the drops, he's good. Like he's becoming like much better from.
Yeah, he can block too. Like, I mean, they spring some runs, and it's almost always because he just laid a guy out. He set the edge. He went from an, oh no, he threw it to Knox, to, all right, Knox is open, throw it to him. Mm-hmm. To the point where there are games here where Cole Beasley disappeared from the offense because mm-hmm. Josh threw it to Knox instead. And then when they're like, you know, they start covering Knox a little bit more. Okay, now we can go back to Cole. So it's nice to see the guy, especially after I feel like I've said this to you before, but my 7-year-old, he called Knox the slippery hands guy. That's what every time he and I are playing catch, I'd drop the ball. He'd be like, come on, Knox, what's wrong with you? And now we're watching it. And all of a sudden he's like, Daddy, Dawson Knox is good now. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's what happens. That's why you don't give up on a guy. You work hard. Yeah. Meanwhile, I had him dead to rights. I was like, screw this guy. Like, go get Zach Ertz.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I'm just sitting here shaking my head going, Dawson Knox is probably going to set the team's record for touchdown receptions by a tight end in a season. But he's actually on pace to break Bill Brooks's franchise record for single season touchdowns wow. receiving. Brooks had 11 in 1995. Knox already has 5. So if they keep doubling, if you're going to bracket Diggs and you're going to bracket Beasley in the red zone, and then you got to still worry about Emmanuel Sanders and Gabe Davis or one of the running backs or Allen running, yeah, it's easy money just firing the ball at Knox all day long. So I if he gets 12 passing or receiving touchdowns, I will be the happiest dude for this guy because he's worked his butt off and he's earned it.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys that you always wanted to like, but his play on the field is just like, man, like your seven-year-old. I love that your seven-year-old is busting your chops too, by the way. That's hilarious every time. But it's like there are so many guys that he was always likable and you always wanted – he had that one big play against the Bengals and you wanted him to do well. It's just so good that – especially a guy that, you know, had so many limited reps compared to other tight ends that take 3 or 4 years to develop. I mean, the guy was – you know, he only caught like 30 or 40 passes in college and yeah. He didn't catch a touchdown. They keep mentioning that all the time. And he played quarterback in high school. So, I mean, the guys I would have given him another year easily because of how far he's had to come. But the fact that he's doing this now in his third year, when a lot of tight ends take at least till their third or fourth year, like even like the Zach Ertzes of the world or the Travis Kelce's or whatever, they take a couple years. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's played great. Now, be honest, were you like me when Buffalo ran that, you know, Philly special or that Buffalo special? When Knox threw that ball, did you say in your head, he was a quarterback and, oh my God, that ball is ugly. What the hell happened?
I'm like, yeah, he did. Josh Allen almost had to come back for that ball. Like, what the heck was that, Dawson?
And it was almost like you heard the sound effect as the ball was going, like, because it was so poorly thrown. And then to find out that he threw it with a broken hand, it was like, okay. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, dudes. Yeah, exactly. You're thinking it's like, what is this, like a badminton birdie? Like what is going on here? Then yeah, he ended up making you find out that he actually broke his finger. Was it his hand or his finger?
There was something in his hand. I think they said it was a bone in his hand. Don't know which one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just for him to be able to do it. Then they showed Allen frantically like trying to wave off the play. Oh, yeah. And it's all like you could hear Dayball in his head going, F it. I don't care. It's going to be open. Like, he'll still be able to go.
Do you wish at that moment that when the Bills did that fourth and inches sneak at the end of the game, that they had a little bit more trickery like that? Because, I mean, looking back at the play, like, there were several different angles of it, and you can see Josh didn't go the right way when he dove. He slipped. A lot of things had to go wrong in that play. Like, he could have gotten that first down. So I wasn't upset with the call. Do you ever think that they should have – it's just funny. Dable's, you're damned if you do it, you're damned if you don't. Because he'll get too cute sometimes, and you're just like, what the heck was that? And then, you know, he'll do something that's really impressive. You're like, oh, that worked out perfectly. Like you said, that touch of the Buffalo special, right?
Well, yeah. Well, like, think about it. The first week they ran that awful throwback play to, I think it was Matt Breida, and there were seven dudes in the backfield, and it got blown up, and all of us were pissed because Dayball got cute. And then when you do the thing that everybody knows is coming, that Josh usually still makes it work, we had some people, and I was proud of Bill's Twitter for not like bringing out the torches and the pitchforks and going after him for calling the boring one. But there was that thought in my head where why not keep Josh in the gun there and run the old read option? Because if you give him some space, then the line can't condense down like that. Mm-hmm. And if they do condense down, then he's got some extra time. There's also my favorite underutilized play is the little shovel toss to Isaiah McKenzie, because I don't think he's ever lost yardage on that play. Mm-hmm. Because he's always flying through on that little jet sweep. So yeah, there was a part of me, but that was more reacting to the result than reacting to or thinking through what the play was, because I get it. And the other thought process too in there, even if Allen gets that, they have to call timeout at that point. Essentially, you got to burn your last timeout. So that's not a play to win the game. That's a play to get you another play to win the game, which I think was my only problem with going with a sneak, because unless he sneaks for 3 yards, you're still going to have to run another play. Mm-hmm. So that if there were one thing that I would say, you know what? Yeah, maybe you try to do it. And then, of course, I'm even talking myself out of that now, because if you run a play to try to get into the end zone and win the game and you don't get it, well, why didn't you just pick up the inches, call the timeout, and then go run another play? So it's, and we're sitting here, this is what, a week later, and we're still talking about it, and we're still coming through all these. Dayball had 35 seconds.
Yeah,
to figure
yeah, no
out
kidding.
And to radio it in, and that's why those guys get the big bucks, and you and I are chilling out talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here, and if we blow that play, then I can smash my Madden controller or hit the reset button or you know, just fast forward to the game, and life goes on. Mm-hmm. But with him, now he's got to sit there. Part of me thinks, too, he's such a dastardly MRFer that I think the next time they're in a situation like that, Allen's going to deke like he's going to come up to the line, and they're going to do something different. I almost feel like everything he does, it's a show to set you up. Let's put this on tape and do something later, which sounds dumb because it didn't work and they ended up losing the game. But I can't think that that's his only, that that's his best read there. He just, why would you show it in week six in October? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a game, sure, but this is a team that has way greater aspirations and has way bigger fish to fry than a game in October. I think these guys, when you see the rubber meet the road and it's later on in the year, there's going to be something a little bit more creative.
Yeah, you know, I hope that you're right and they're playing 3D, 4D chess or whatever, because if you're setting teams up now, because I mean, I have to imagine, I've never been a scout, obviously, that you have to go back to like teams that either have similar profiles as your team to look back at, like the team that you're going to play against or the last few games. And if you're a coach like Brian Daboll and you're thinking that far ahead, you're like, nobody's going to think of a week six play when it comes down to the playoffs and like, you know, the first week or the second week of you know, the divisional round. Like, nobody's thinking like, what happened in week five or week six against the Titans? Is that what they might do to us? Like, no, they're not thinking that far ahead. No one has time to do that much back of work, but
right.
But yeah. So last season, after a heartbreaking loss, they went right into a bye week. It was the Hail Mary against the Arizona Cardinals, which we all know and remember and love talking about. And then you have, you know, this last loss against the Titans, you know, which makes us, you know, talk about it and think about it for another week longer than we have to. After that, the Bills were 7-3 going into that bye week. They didn't lose a game after that, right? They won six games in a row. They did an amazing job. Is this now? The bye is a little bit earlier this season, so they can't just win, you know, the next six games and win out. They have more games this season in general. Can you see this in general as a kick in the pants and more of a motivation to get to that level as opposed to just a normally good season? Like, do you think they come out with their hair on fire, or do you think they just stick with their plan? It's always been their plan. They don't even think about the Titans game.
I think it might be a combo of both, truthfully, because I think that this team self-scouts better. They definitely self-scout better than any Buffalo team that I've followed closely. I was young enough when they were really, really good back in the 90s that I wasn't paying attention to that. I was just paying attention to the result. But like watching what these guys do, they don't often do the same thing wrong twice. They seem to do a whole hell of a lot better once they've had the opportunity to fail. And it's a huge credit to Sean McDermott, to Leslie Frazier, to Brian Daboll, to the entire staff, really, when they're sitting there and saying, hey, guys, you effed this up. Don't do that again. This is where you need to learn from it. It's a testament to the players, too, where you've got leaders in there who they're not worried. I don't think they look at that as an, oh, shoot, they beat us and now Tennessee just beat Kansas City. We better keep up with them. You know what I mean? I think they're going to come right out and say, we got Miami. We need to take care of Miami. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to blow Miami out. And mm-hmm. then they're going to say, all right, that's what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now we got Jacksonville. And they're going to go blow Jacksonville out. So I think that they're going to come right out and they're going to do exactly what we thought they were. I figured, I feel like Denny Green now. They are who we thought they were. So and they are exactly in the place that I assumed that they would be, truthfully. Because if you think, like, if we're honest with ourselves, right, of those first six games, I think there were a lot of people that had Buffalo losing to Kansas City. They had Buffalo beating Miami, beating Washington, beating Houston. And Tennessee and Pittsburgh were kind of coin flips, where it's like, okay, these are good football teams that are going to test to see how good the Bills are. And they went ahead and they happened to lose both of those battles against teams that are tough. And I still, by the way, think Buffalo's way better than both of them.
Yeah.
And I don't feel arrogant or out of pocket saying that either. I think that you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that would say, well, you know, Tennessee is really head and shoulders better than Buffalo. Tennessee's damn good. Mm-hmm. But I think if the Bills and the Titans played each other 10 times, Buffalo wins 7 of the games.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have a hard time disagreeing with anything that you mentioned there. I mean, yeah, like you said, self-scouting, self-evaluating. I mean, this is the Sean McDermott method of, you know, growth mindset, always learning from what you're doing, always trying to get better. You know, what's funny is it's actually like a good life lesson in general for us that aren't football players. You know, whatever you do at your job, whatever you do as a husband or father or, you know, wife or mother, whatever, like all those things, like constantly trying to evaluate yourself and looking at how you're doing, what you can do better, how you can become better in general. And you're right. I mean, the self-scouting, the ability of this team to look at it and then like concentrate and focus again on the next item at hand is just unparalleled compared to regimes and coaching staffs that we've seen in the past. It's such a good place to be.
They're proactive, not reactive.
Yes.
And they're kind of guys who like you just said, I mean, you can't change what happened, but you can still change what is going to happen. So if you can sit back and say, hey, that didn't go how I wanted it to, these are the things I need to do to make it go better next time, then everything is, it might not be perfect. You, mm-hmm. you still might fail a few times, but it's going to put you in a much better mindset and a much better situation. So yeah, I think that the growth mindset thing is huge, man. We could go all like go to the ashram and hang out and talk about that for a little while, but that would get us off of football and more.
absolutely. So right now, as it is right now on NFL.com, the standings for the conference, the Bills are fourth right now. Of course, they weren't able to play a game this past week, but right now ahead of them, we mentioned the Titans, so I won't go on about that. But the Raiders and Bengals are actually, the Raiders are number two. The Bengals are number one in the AFC right now. And don't ask me to explain exactly why that is. I don't know which tiebreaker makes them at 5-2, the number one ranked team in the AFC. But this is interesting. I don't know if any of us looking into the season would be like, okay, the Bills may eventually face the Bengals or the Raiders, you know, at some point in the postseason. And I haven't watched a ton on either team. I think I watched more of that Packers-Bengals game a couple of weeks ago, you know, with it going back and forth into overtime. So they could easily be 6-1 right now had their kicker been able to kick a field goal. This whole conference is just so much different than what I thought it would be. Do you get that feeling at all?
I think it was Mina Kimes at some point today tweeted a meme, and it was like her looking at a butterfly, and it was like, which of the teams is actually good? who knows where it is? Because you just said that the Raiders were ahead. I mean, I spent the day like building a crib and like getting the baby nursery ready for and I didn't watch anything. So I thought that the Chargers were in first place in the West. I didn't realize that they had fallen down below Vegas. So this is way, way topsy-turvy for where we thought this would be. And Kansas City isn't even in, where are they?
They're 10th. They're not even they're not even in the playoffs at this point.
It's October, man. So it's not what I thought it would be, but they're still like, yeah. I am stunned at how well Cincinnati has played. I mean, I think everybody knew that Joe Burrow was good. I don't know that they thought that he was elevate the Cincinnati Bengals in only his second year good. Many have tried, few have succeeded. So and Vegas is another team that is confusing, right? I mean, yeah. They don't seem to do any one thing particularly well, but they also don't seem to lose. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to make of them. I mean, especially since they're on an interim head coach. That's an odd, unique situation going on out there. So I think that I think at the end when the smoke settles, it's going to be Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Baltimore. You got to figure it's going to be Tennessee. Somehow Patrick Mahomes almost got decapitated today, yet he cleared concussion protocol.
Jeez.
I don't know how that works. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but that did not look good. So I don't know how that works, but if he's right back in there, they got to get it figured out at some point, I would assume. And it, if they don't, you're looking at three of the four divisions. Well, actually, I guess two of the four divisions in the AFC, the North and the West, are just going to be a bunch of heavyweights beating the bejesus out of each other. And then you're going to have Buffalo and Tennessee pretty much blowing out the rest of their division.
Yep.
And I don't know how many games Tennessee has left against theirs, but Buffalo still has two against New England, two against the Jets, and this Miami game upcoming. So you got to figure that out of that five, Buffalo's probably coming away with four wins.
Mm-hmm. The Titans have only played two divisional games at this point, and they're 2-0, obviously. So four more, and the Bills only have one, really. So
yeah, so you're looking at a team who's probably going to pick up. But if Tennessee's, what did they, was that their fourth win this week or their fifth?
Their fifth. They're 5-2.
Yeah, so I mean, you got, they're not going to lose. They're not dropping a game to Houston. You know, they're not dropping a game to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So maybe Indianapolis gives them a run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, so the Bills, one thing that sticks out looking at the standings is the Bills have 105 points as their point differential, which is way more than any team has in the AFC. And the only team that's close to it in the NFC, for the most part, is the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the next closest one, they have 111. The Bills are 105. The Cardinals are 111, so a little bit better than the Bills. The Buccaneers are 86, the next closest out of both conferences. And man, like, let's say we're looking down the road. Let's just say we're just in dreamland, in fantasy land, looking at the Bills being in the Super Bowl. Imagine the storylines between the Arizona Cardinals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you're talking like two really, really fun matchups between either of them that you could, that would be really fun. There's history there. There just is.
Well, yeah. I mean, with Buffalo and Arizona, we'd be, you know, forced to watch 40,000 repeats of, you know, the latest play to get a cutesy nickname that happened to go against Buffalo. And with Tampa Bay, you'd obviously have the whole trying to slay Brady storyline in there. With Buffalo and Arizona, the subplot too would be, you know, two teams that have never won a Super Bowl before. Mm-hmm. One of them has to come out of here with one. Mm-hmm. So it's that would be an interesting matchup if we're allowing ourselves to dream that far ahead.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Sean, I mean, this has been a blast. Like I said, you know, you could do 10 minutes. It seems like an hour. We've already done almost an hour. It feels like, it looks like this was a fun chat. It's fun, bi-week discussion on, you know, where we see the Bills right now, where they're, you know, not too distant future is, and even, you know, the far distant future with, you know, everything happening. You know, who knows what can happen though, injuries, everything occurs, you know, within our division, within our team, outside of our division, and everything out that. So there's a lot of things that we don't know, but man, this has been a really fun conversation. Thanks for taking the time out for doing this and talking Bills with me, man.
Dude, anytime. Like I said, you ever need me, I'm literally a call away. So it's perfect. I love it. Thank you.
So, Sean, I mean, obviously, you know, people can find your work on BuffaloRumblings.com. Where else can they find you? Is there another? I know you don't use Twitter a lot or social media or anything like that. I mean, what's the best way for them to just find? I didn't find a way in Buffalo Rumblings you can search specific articles. And what I just do is I basically scroll down. If I see, you know, Sean Murphy in it, then I can just click it and I can see all your latest articles and comments and stuff in the message boards. What's the best way to find you?
Honestly, I think that's pretty much it, man. Like I said, I'm not Bruce Nolan level undercover, but I keep a fairly low profile in there. So I just like I like blasting out parts of the team. You know what I mean? We got a really good thing going at Buffalo Rumbling. So you see my stuff, you see Matt's stuff, you see Dan's stuff, you see Jeff's stuff, you see Griff's stuff. I mean, I'm sure that I'm missing people too. You see John's stuff. You see Anthony does a great job with the pods. You're killing it with the pods. We have John Fina on a podcast.
I know, yep.
Like, freaking real? Are you kidding me? Like, oh my God, that guy is a legend. All right, I just fangirled a little bit. Sorry. I saw that the other day, and I'm like, that's God's great. So it's, yeah, anytime that you can find it, man. I mean, if you Google search Sean Murphy, you're going to come up with like 9,000 different random Irish people. So it's, if you just enter, there's a search bar on Buffalo Rumblings, and you can pop my name in there, and then all that stuff is, it should show up.
Very cool. Well, you know, I mean, John Fina is nothing. I mean, I got Eric Wood coming on the podcast next week, and he's going to be my co-host for another show that we call Nate Loves Wood, or I don't know, something like that. No, just kidding.
Oh, dude, Eric Wood, this is random. I know you're trying to get me out of here.
No.
We're at the. I was at the last time I was up in Buffalo, I was at the 716, way later than I probably should have been. And as I was trying to find my friends, I turned around and I thought I ran into a lamppost, and it was actually Eric Wood that I ran into, because I like walked into this and I looked at him and I was like, hi. And he just went, hey man, how you doing? You good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. And he just walked away. And I was like, oh my God, because it was like right after he had retired and he had just lost weight. Uh-huh. So I think he was shocked, A, that I recognized him, but I was shocked because when I slammed into him, it was like I ran into one of those like steel beams that holds up your house. Like, he was an absolute, just a tank. Wow. So I bumped him, and I texted my wife right away, and she's like, aw, you're like having a moment. Are you okay? And I'm like, thanks a lot. Thanks, honey. I appreciate it.
That's hilarious. That is a great story. That is so funny that you just ran into him and you felt like it was like an actual immovable object. Like
he was a brick, you know what house. Like, that guy was absolutely, he was not moving. And I'm 6'3", but I am not anywhere near, like, I'm a little under his fighting weight. We'll put it that way. So I'm a beanpole. So I bumped into him and I definitely gave ground.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. That's awesome. That's all. Eric is the man. I mean, everything I've ever listened to his podcast and stuff like that. You know, what's funny about John Fina being on, and I hope he listens to this, is he is super, super down to earth and just like a guy, you know, like, as like, yeah, you said, fangirling about that stuff, man. I do that all the time about these guys. I mean, I've been very fortunate. I've talked to, like, I don't know, 7 or 10 Bills players in past and present, and I get that way every single time. And John Fina, so we did a preview for the Titans Bills game with Joe Miller, Big Newt, Bruce Nolan, and myself on YouTube. And it's the first time I've ever done a YouTube thing. Like, that was fun. It was just talking, just talking Bills Titans stuff. Right. And John Fina gets in the chat and he's chatting up with people. He's busting chops. He's just like, it's so cool. Like, for us, it's just like, man, like, you're, and he's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, I messaged him the other day, like, man, that was cool. He's like, I love creeping in on those conversations.
It's like, forget that these guys are actual people, yeah, too. It's, look at them and we put them up on a pedestal and we're like, you know, I wish that I were that guy. And then you meet him and you're like, oh man, he's just a guy. Yeah. And he's a great guy. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He's what you would hope, right? Like, exactly. As a Bills fan. All right, real quick, we're going to do our giveaway for the podcast. And if you're not familiar with this, we do giveaway each week. Sometimes we do several giveaways like we are doing right now. If you'd like to be part of any of the giveaways that we do on the Circling the Wagons podcast, just leave a 5-star review for us on Apple Podcasts, and just mention CTW, Circling the Wagons, CTW Pod, whatever you want, in that description. And this year it's new. We are saying add another podcast within the network to say something nice about, because I know you guys are listening to them, as you should be. And they do a great job. They put in a ton of work too. Want to give a shout out to them. Some people have mentioned, like, hey, I don't have an iPhone or a Mac. I can't get into iTunes. You can absolutely create an account with iTunes. Just sign in. You don't have to download music or podcasts or anything from there. You just do it from a desktop and just, put something that you're going to recognize, because when I put in these names or when I reread these names, hopefully it's something that you'll see and be able to be like, oh, yeah, that's me. It's, whatever, the real tug, whatever it is, you'll remember. So we're going to give away an Ed Oliver jersey, a Daryl Talley jersey, and 2 t-shirts from our T Public site that site is tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod, like Circling the Wagons Pod. We have over 100 Bills designs there. You guys have to check it out. If you're looking for a gift for someone, if you're looking for something for yourself before the end of the season or in the next couple of weeks, go over there, tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. We have some of the best designs out there for Buffalo Bills things. We're constantly adding our new designs. Our graphics designer, Nick, does a fantastic job. He did a Groot design for Greg Rousseau. He has, you know, some really cool designs that some favorites, some Hall of Famers like Sean McDermott, Trusting the Process, the Trust the Process Bay. We're sprinkling a little bit of process over that elbow. We also have, you know, Josh Allen jumping over the haters, hurdling the haters. Just a lot of cool things out there. You have to check it out. Something for everyone. My wife and I just got it. Just got a couple of shirts for ourselves and for our son. So go over there. So the winners for the, oh, real quick, I was on a podcast with this group called the Violet Wanderers, and these are three folks that are trans or transitioning or in that level of, you know, gender fluidity. And they asked me, the host on the podcast, Alexis, she's listening to the podcast, she's a Lockport native. Super cool, super fun to talk to. She reached out. She's like, hey, you know, you want to come on here and talk Bills? You know, obviously we're a trans podcast. You know, hope that doesn't bother you or whatever. And it didn't, you know, honestly, I don't know a ton of trans people personally. I just don't. And they were so cool, so open, so fun. I would absolutely, if you're interested or open about those things, I would absolutely recommend it. She's going to release that podcast in the next week or so, the Violet Wanderers, just really just nice down to earth people, which is always what you want to talk about. And obviously we talk Bills in there. We go into some stuff and Alexis, she was the Bills fan. She definitely knows her stuff more than I would say maybe even the average fan. Like, I mean, even me, I mean, she's teaching me a few things or two. So that was really cool. Absolutely check them out. And you know, the good thing about Bills in general, Bills fans, is for the most part really open and accepting and appreciative of that, you know, whether it's based on gender or based on race or based on religion or whatever. It's really great fan base to be a part of, and I'm proud to be a Bills fan because of it. And this was just, you know, it was a chance to learn, a chance to talk, and a chance to grow. I mean, I feel like we mentioned with Sean earlier, I feel like we got to have that growth mindset in our own lives. And if you're not learning or doing something, if you're not moving up, you're just not moving, as far as I'm concerned. So let's get into the giveaways. First giveaway, first winner is the Critical Chef, which has won before. Critical Chef has won at least two items. So this might be his third. He listens religiously. So hopefully he gets back to me quickly. Riots of Heaven is next. Riots of Heaven. The third winner is Sumit M. Gupta. That's Sumit N. Gupta. And the fourth winner is JDK_II. That's JDK_II. The first one to get back to me, email me, or ctwpod@gmail.com, or DM us on Twitter, or tweet at us, message us over Facebook or Instagram, whatever you want to do. Let us know that you heard this podcast, that you heard your name called, and the first one gets to choose which item you want between the Ed Oliver jersey, Daryl Taylor jersey, or the 2T Public store t-shirts. And yeah, just let me know, and the first one gets the choice, and you have to listen. One of the things that, you know, you have to listen each week, because I will not contact you, even if I do recognize the name, and I know who left the review, and I know their Twitter handle, I'm not going to contact you. But all of these giveaways are able to be done with the sponsorship of the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Mike, John, and voiceover Nick and myself are going to be at the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago for the November 7th game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if you are in town, if you think you might go to Waterloo, or you're in that area, you think you want to take a take a drive down. The DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago is a very cool place. I would absolutely recommend it. We're going to go there. We're going to have some food. We're going to have a few drinks, watch the game there. If you are in the area and you want to talk Bills, you want to talk gambling with us, because we're pretty much the entire drive from Rochester to Waterloo is going to be discussing what we're going to put our bets on, what kind of parlays we're going to do, which teams we like. We're going to probably have some money on the Bills game, just because, you know, make it a little bit more interesting. If you are in the area, definitely stop by, DM us, message us over social media or whatever, email us, let us know, and hopefully we can catch up. We love talking football. We love talking Bills with anyone that's around. And then we'll be recording the podcast right after there. The amazing people over there, Eddie, has set up an area where we're going to record the podcast after. And hopefully we can get all four of us on. That'd be fun. I know you guys obviously are fans of Mike and John, and VoiceOver Nick is always a good time to talk to about all these things. So thanks again to the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago over at the Del Lago Resort and Casino for setting us all up and helping us out. And, you know, if you're around, come say hi. But yeah, Sean, man, thank you so much again for coming on. You're the man as always. Congratulations on the little one, you know, coming around, you're building the nursery for.
First, we're adding a girl to the team. So we got two boys, and now we get a girl on Thanksgiving Day. So my wife already knows that we got to go early here, but we got to get that set.
I actually
was in the classroom the other day. They were like, "Well, you can just watch the game on your phone, right?" And I was like, "Boys, you got a lot to learn if you think that I'm gonna be able to focus on a phone and a football game while that's happening. I'm like, am I gonna be able to sleep on your couch after, you know, that? I mean, or will you come to my funeral?" That can't happen. But yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You got to hope the labor goes early so that she's done, you know, by the Thanksgiving game. So like the labor starts the day before. That's fine. Like an early one.
Yeah, that's all. We keep telling all our family, like, come to our house for Thanksgiving. You might get fed. You might deliver a baby, and you might be babysitting. So who knows?
All the women in your family will love holding the baby. So guys are a little weird and funny about that, but the women will love it. So funny thing, this is your first girl.
Yes.
My first was a son. My second was a girl. I was kind of thinking I was going to get two boys, which is weird because I grew up with sisters. So it would have been just a weird thing for me to deal with. And I've never had, you know, so it was a fun experience. And we found out we were having a girl, and I was like, oh, this is going to be different. How am I going to do? Dude, like, people don't talk about this. Men, guys don't talk about this enough. Dude, girls are fun. They're so much fun. Like, you think boys are hilarious, and they just, you know, they tackle you, they play games with you, they play, like, girls are just, they just have this other vibe, right? And it's just so awesome that my buddy John, who's a co-host on the podcast, he has two girls, and he told me, man, he's like, congratulations, you're going to love this. And people have told me this, and I'm just like, oh, well, you know, I love having a boy. Like, how much is it going to be? Dude, it is different in an other level that you just can't understand because you've had boys. It is. You're going to enjoy it, man. I'm really excited for you.
Awesome. I appreciate it, man. How old's your daughter?
She's 2.5 now, and she is, yeah. She's hilarious. Like, she still hasn't gotten into, like, the daddy is my favorite stage, but she's starting to kind of get into it. And she just, like, boys are just pure chaos, man. Like, just like whatever happens, boom, don't think about it. Like, they never think ahead. Like, girls, like clean up something sometimes. Like my 2-year-old will clean up more than my 5-year-old.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I've been most of my friends had a girl first. Okay. So we were the only ones who had the boys first. So they've all been looking at me like, you wait, buddy. It's like, I coach girls.
Oh yeah.
And they're,
that's right.
And like, they're like, as hard as it is for you to like say no to other people's kids, just wait now. Just wait until it's your own. So I'm hyped, dude. I can't wait. We're a month out, so I'm like sitting here like, come on, let's go. Let's get
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome, man. Well, have a good one. Thanks again for coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon, man. This is always a great time.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Anytime you need me, I'm here.
Buffalo, stand up. It's the mafia. It's a Bill City. Yeah.
a Buffalo Bill city. Yo, it's a Bill city.
It's a Bill city.
Yeah, a Buffalo Bill city.
Bill city.
Yo, we got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. Yeah. Ike McKenzie on a jet sweep, maybe it's a fake. Honestly, it's a TD either way. When you got Diggs and Bees and Gabe Davis, three-headed Singletary, Moss, Brader. Who gon' stop us? We the greatest. Forget Mahomes, forget Kelsey, forget Hill. Come and replay us, cause we ready. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford, we ready. Kick they bucket like Ike, yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
A Buffalo Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah. A Buffalo Bill City.
Buffalo Bill City.
Yeah. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A Buffalo Bill City.
Buffalo Bill City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? It's a Bill City.
It's a Bill City.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A Buffalo Bill City.
A Buffalo Bill
yeah.
City.
Yeah. Taron Johnson with a pick six. It's just too easy. Don't pass it to Trey Wade. Please believe me, we got high right behind him in Poyer Free. Please don't run up the middle unless you want to meet a star. Greg Russo will show you what he's about. Trey Edmonds and Matt Milano can't get around him. Our team is grounded. Oh, yeah. Sebastian like Boogie, yeah, we ready. Moving for Cody Ford, we ready. Kick they bucket like Ike, yeah, we ready. Dawson Knox with a spike, are you ready? Season tickets, I'm hype up the team ready. Buffalo, this is our team forever. Forever. We got Josh Allen, got Steph Diggs, we got Cole Deion Dawkins, cause you know it's about to snow. Mafia, you know we on a roll. No competition and it's not even close. It's a Bill
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
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 A Buffalo Bill City.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.